Mrs. Yarra, thou mercy.
Ave! Satana!
Hail!
Satan! Hail! Satan!
Greetings, heathens. Welcome to Hail Satan. This is the podcast exploring Satanism, culture, and life in general through the eyes of modern Satanists. My name is Joseph Rose. I'm going to be your host once again today. I'm a member of the Satanic Temple and founder of a group called Satanic Delco. On the show today, I'm going to answer a bunch of listener questions that have been submitted recently, and I'm going to go over a couple of satanic news items that have popped up recently. First things first, we've got a few new members of our Patreon crew, and I'd like to give them a little mention. We've got Michael, Michelle, Chrissy, Bradley, Larry, and Scott. I want to say thank you all very, very much. I appreciate it. It's always super nice to know that the show is reaching new people and they're finding some value in it and want to support the show. So that's really great. Instead of the normal listener mail segment, I've collected a whole bunch of Ask a Satanist questions that have been submitted recently. So I figure we'll get right into those. We've got one from Mark. He asks simply, do Satanists believe in any sort of afterlife or spirit world? Obviously not anything like heaven or hell. Mark, it is my view that any sort of afterlife or spirit world would be just as unlikely as heaven or hell. I see no real separation there. I've seen no evidence that such a thing exists or is possible, so I have no reason to believe in a thing like that. I would think that just about any other Satanist or rational person who doesn't hold supernatural beliefs is on the same page on that one. But thank you for your question. Next one is Frederick. Where do you think Satanism will be in 5 or 10 years? Now that is a tough one. I'd love to say that surely after 5 or 10 more years, some meaningful progress will be made. But I can't say that I'm entirely optimistic about it. I guess that an organization like the Church of Satan has an easier time at sustainable longevity because there just isn't very much to sustain, right? They keep the website up, they sell $225 memberships, and they have a Twitter account. And so, you know, that seems doable. You can maintain that indefinitely. But in the case of the Satanic Temple, what is the model exactly? They expand the reach of the organization through chapters, and the primary purpose of chapters is to grow the base of people who will do free advertising for them, raise funds for them, and donate to the organization. Are they going to keep filing an endless parade of lawsuits every couple of months for the next 10 years? If they can keep enough people engaged and funding them for that long, it's possible. But eventually, they might have to start winning some of those cases or being a bit more selective about which battles to fight. And then, I won't go deep into this now because it's a tremendous can of worms on its own, but there is a significant ever-growing number of former members, former chapter heads, and various insiders within that organization that have a whole lot of less than favorable stories to tell that keep popping up. But wisely, the Satanic Temple requires that everyone sign a non-disclosure agreement before working with them. So naturally, your average person is going to be terrified to speak out for fear of the legal ramifications of breaking that NDA. So will the NDAs continue to keep the hounds at bay for the next 10 years? Maybe so. Maybe. As much as I love a whole lot of what TST does, and as much as I really love the Seven Tenets, I do think that the Satanic Temple has some real organizational issues to deal with. I'd love to ask them about so many things, including what the plan for the next few years looks like. But honestly, I've already been critical enough on this show that I suspect no prominent members of TST will ever come on here or respond to any questions about that stuff. So I hope we start to see TST win some of the more meaningful legal challenges, and I hope they start to become more transparent with things. Next question from Jessica. She asks, how do you deal with losing relationships due to Satanism, specifically in instances when the other party refuses to be open-minded and willing to learn about what Satanism truly is? Okay, Jessica. I have never personally lost a relationship of any value because of my involvement with Satanism. My feeling has always been that if a person would disrespect me in some way because of my religion or be a negative force in my life, then I simply won't have that person in my life, no matter what the relationship with them was. Now, as far as people being willing to learn all about what Satanism is, I don't really care about that. If people around me are interested in Satanism, I'm happy to talk about it. But I certainly don't require that, and I don't put pressure on anyone to learn about it or feel any certain way about it. I care more about the tangible ways that I interact with people and the way that they treat me. Next question from Ron. Why is there a shunning or dislike of Anton LaVey when he started the movement? Okay, Ron. Anton did start the movement of modern Satanism when he founded the Church of Satan and assembled the Satanic Bible, and he deserves credit for that. But that's no reason for someone to like him, right? We all use our own preferences and subjectivity to decide what we like. There are lots of people who like Anton and the things he wrote, but when it comes to the silly Church of Satan versus Satanic Temple feuding that goes on, there's just a complete disconnect in ideologies there. The groups have a couple of basic things in common, but in practice, they're very, very different. And I found that even just discussing Satanism with members of the two groups is a very different experience. Most people are going to prefer one over the other, and some of those people are just going to have pretty strong feelings about it one way or the other. And I guess that is to be expected. So, I mean, I guess the simplest answer to your question, why is there this dislike of Anton? I guess it just depends on who you ask. You know, if you're asking people that are opposed to the general personality or message of Anton or the Church of Satan, you're going to get that reaction. But there's certainly lots of people out there that are very favorable toward Anton. Megan is next. She asks, what is the Satanist opinion on sexual morality? Okay, that's a good question. To me, the word morality implies a distinction of right and wrong, or good and bad. And I don't think that applies to sex, with the obvious caveat being that the sex is happening between consenting partners. But once consent is established, I don't make any moral judgments about the kinds of sex that people have. So do what you want. Next question comes from Catwitch. Catwitch. What are some tactful but assertive ways to tell people that the temple is a minority religion and should be afforded the same sort of consideration as other minority religions? I find myself struggling with that. I wouldn't even bother with the term minority. Satanism is a religion equal to all other religions. It's recognized by the government of the United States as a religion, but honestly, I don't even care about that part. I feel the exact same way about it without that distinction from the government, because we certainly don't need the government to tell us which beliefs count and which don't. The whole government-recognized religion part is just there for the Satanic Temple to have tax benefits and political power. It means nothing at all in relation to the legitimacy of the beliefs of Satanists. But if you find yourself in a conversation with a skeptical outsider, maybe that legal recognition is worth something to them, which might help you in that conversation. In their official FAQ section, the Satanic Temple says, "The idea that religion belongs to supernaturalists is ignorant, backward, and offensive. The metaphorical satanic construct is no more arbitrary to us than are the deeply held beliefs that we actively advocate. Are we supposed to believe that those who pledge submission to an ethereal supernatural deity hold to their values more deeply than we? Are we supposed to concede that only the superstitious are rightful recipients of religious exemption and privilege? Satanism provides all that a religion should be without a compulsory attachment to untenable items of faith-based belief. It provides a narrative structure by which we contextualize our lives and works. It also provides a body of symbolism and religious practice, a sense of identity, culture, community, and shared values." All of that stuff at the end there is the most important part to me. Let me just hit that again, if you don't mind. It provides a narrative structure by which we contextualize our lives and works. It also provides a body of symbolism and religious practice, a sense of identity, culture, community, and shared values. To me, those are the most tangible, important parts of a religion. Next question. Drew wants to know, what is the best way to describe Satanism to someone who isn't a Satanist? Drew, a very simplified way to explain would be to say something like, we're atheists with a specific moral code focused on compassion, justice, and equality. We use Satan as a symbol that represents opposition to arbitrary authority, and we value critical thinking and reasonable agnosticism. And if they start in with some shit about Satan is just being edgy, why don't you use something other than Satan, or anything like that, then you would say, hey, you should go kindly, gently, fuck yourself, and leave me alone. Okay? That's what you should say. Ron wants to know, was Crowley a Satanist or not? Ron, he was not. Aleister Crowley was a generally outlandish, wild motherfucker. Occultist is probably a suitable title, but there's really no attachment to Satanism for Crowley, in my opinion. Josh is next. He writes in, I wanted to ask what your thoughts are on being an openly out and proud Satanist versus having to possibly hide your religious beliefs from friends, family, and the public. Also, what was it like for you to come out as a Satanist to the world? So my real answer is that everyone should do what they feel is right and makes the most sense for their individual circumstances. For me personally, I just can't live my life in a way that requires me to pretend to be something I'm not or hide significant parts of who I am. I know that isn't always an option for some people, but I just find that the compromises aren't worth the way that it makes me feel. Now, if some opportunity came along offering me $1 million a year to just keep my mouth shut about Satan and stop wearing a satanic Delco shirt with an inverted cross on it, I would probably be able to make that sacrifice for the greater good of my life and the people that I care about. But otherwise, I just feel most comfortable being myself and letting everyone else decide if they want to be part of my ride or not. I think I've always been that way, so I never really had a coming out moment. I probably have my mother to thank for that type of attitude. Ian wants to know, does veganism align with the values of the Satanic Temple? Okay. I would say, and again, everybody, I hate to even have to make this disclaimer ever, but I will remind you occasionally, I'm just a guy. My views and opinions on here don't represent anyone or anything other than me. I would say that depending on one's reason for being a vegan, it can align with the values of the Satanic Temple. Here's what I mean. If a person chooses to be a vegan for reasons based on compassion and empathy, that's a reasonable choice. I think most of us can agree that something like factory farming is very far from perfect, and that compassion for the animals hasn't been a very high priority in that industry. So, if that compassion and empathy is what drives the decision for a person to be vegan, I understand that completely. And also, if a person wants to be vegan because they just like it, and they just like the way they feel on a diet like that and in that lifestyle, then that's totally cool. The only time it gets a bit weird for me is when people get into claiming that humans are anything other than omnivores, which is what we are. That feels like a direct contradiction to tenet number 5, which states that one should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. But other than that, it feels all good to me. But make no mistake, one does not need to be vegan to adhere to the values of the 7 tenets, obviously, but it's worth saying. We've got one from Mariana. Do you have a special strategy or idea to have a polite conversation with a Christian family member when it comes to Satanism? I don't think I have a special strategy other than to keep cool. The first thing to remember is that you are never going to convince anyone that your religion is better than theirs or that theirs isn't good. So just remove any expectation whatsoever of changing someone's mind about their religion. The best thing you can hope to do is plant the seed of understanding by providing information and explaining how Satanism makes you feel. In what ways has Satanism positively affected you or your community? I find that simply focusing on the 7 tenets is always a pretty good way to go about it, since that's the core of the Satanic Temple's belief system. And we've got one last question here from Oliver. I live a few towns away from the Grand Rapids chapter, but have no way to go there or friends in the chapter. Any advice on how I can engage in the community until I have transportation? So, Oliver, I saw your question and I did a quick search, and I only came up with the Detroit chapter, so perhaps that's the one you're looking at. And I don't have any details about what that chapter is up to currently, but I would guess that they aren't doing anything that would require transportation due to the pandemic. Your best bet would be to join their Facebook group and get acquainted with the general vibe there and see how it feels to you. You should be able to reach out to the people in charge of that chapter, and I would hope that they would receive you in a friendly, welcoming way. All right, so thank you, Oliver. Thank you, everyone who submitted a question. And I would love to encourage everyone to do the same. If you got a minute, please stop by the website, which is HailSatanPodcast.com. You'll find links to all of our social media platforms. You can follow there. And you will find a form to send us an email. Please do. Send in some questions or some feedback or whatever you got. And of course, you'll find a link to join up with our Patreon account where you can support the show. You'll get some discounts on things and you'll get some bonus content. And once you're in there, if you do feel so inclined, you're welcome to come join us over at Satanic Delco and mix with a bunch of fun Satanists over there. So let's get into some satanic news, shall we? First up, this one hits very close to home. Satanic group discriminated against by local school board to the detriment of graduating students. An independent group of Satanists in Pennsylvania called Satanic Delco raised money to give to a graduating senior of Ridley High School. The award called the Satanic Delco Outsider Achievement Award, sets out to grant $666 to a student who embraces individualism, empathy, free thought, and skepticism. Students are able to submit an essay, poem, film, song, or other creative medium. So, here's the deal with this. The school does its annual senior awards ceremony, and winners of various scholarships are presented with their awards. The money was raised, and I, meaning me personally, I submitted the official paperwork for this back at the beginning of November. Immediately, the jerking around got underway, and to make a long story slightly shorter, the jerking around from the school continued for months until I just finally managed to get the secretary of the school board on the phone the other day. His name is Chaz. He explained to me in that condescending nudge-nudge voice, "Yeah, that's not something they'd want to present," is what he said. He didn't ask a single question, and he even acknowledged that he was aware of some of the cool, charitable things that our group had done recently. He basically just said, it isn't happening, obviously because of our use of the unholy S word. Of course, I predicted that some version of this would happen, so in the group, we had already been making some efforts to get the word out to students through less official means, and no matter what, a student will win the award because we already have a few applicants. But in doing this, the school is making it so that far fewer students will ever be aware that this opportunity exists. They're taking a selfish, uneducated, personal view and using it to take away an opportunity from a student that deserves it and could legitimately benefit from it. I think it's gross, and I'm going to do my best to change it, or at the very least make people aware of the choice that the school is making. I'll keep you all posted on how this story progresses. I feel like we'll have a little more news on it pretty soon. Next up, the Satanic Temple has launched a billboard contest. The Satanic Temple says, due to the difficulties of getting our announcements displayed, TST purchased a billboard in Phoenix, Arizona. We are inviting the TST community to participate in a quarterly billboard design contest by submitting artwork related to our chosen theme. Every 3 months, there will be a different theme for submitted artwork. TST will choose 6 designs, which will then be posted online for the TST community to vote for their favorite in the form of tax-deductible donations. At the end of the voting period, the design with the highest value of donations will be displayed on TST's billboard for 3 months. Now, I noticed something before I go on here. At the start, they say, due to the difficulties of getting our announcements displayed, TST purchased a billboard in Phoenix, Arizona. But they just had billboards up in Florida and Texas. I know they have a lawsuit pending against the one company that didn't display their billboards, but after that, they got them up with a different company, and now they bought one in Phoenix. So I'd love to have a better understanding about the difficulties of getting announcements displayed, because it does seem as though they are getting them displayed. But okay, it's a contest, so what are the prizes? Satanic Temple says, designs in the voting round that receive over $20,000 in donations will be added to TST's Billboard Wall of Fame on their website, and they will receive a Satanic Temple trophy. Those are the prizes. For some fine print here, by submitting a design, the creator grants the Satanic Temple Incorporated and its assignees a royalty-free, non-revocable, non-exclusive worldwide license in perpetuity to reproduce, display, and distribute work in any existing or future medium, and to incorporate the work in any collection of works. So, all right. They are not paying the artist, but I guess you will be added to their website and be granted a trophy. So that is something. And, you know, I guess this is aside from the news itself, but I noticed some discussion of this billboard contest posted on Reddit. a Reddit user posted a topic titled, "Anyone else think the billboard voting thing is wrong?" Question mark. These are not my words. These are a post made by someone on Reddit. This person's post says, "I just got the email about the billboard contest. Immediately, it felt like a very non-TST way of doing things. They're taking money for votes. People with disposable income get a say, and poor people can bugger off. I get that they have to raise money to put them up, but the two should be separate. You shouldn't have to buy votes, or am I the only one who thinks that's wrong? Why don't we all get a say? Why is my opinion less valid? The rest of society gives me enough shit for being in extreme poverty. I didn't think TST would smack its less fortunate members in the face." That's a little dramatic. I mean, yikes. I don't see why the vote and the fundraiser couldn't be two separate things. So that's what that user posted. And at the time that I looked at this, I pulled out, you know, the comments that were at the top there. And some of the comments seemed sort of in line with that. I have a few of them. "This just seems wrong. I really don't like being silenced because I'm poor. There's got to be a better way to prevent gaming the system." Another one says, "Agreed, this kind of feels like something one of those Christian megachurches would do." And the last one here says, "I wasn't very happy to see that we have to buy our votes either. I at first was thinking of trying to come up with a design to submit, but after seeing that and reading the fine print, I was like, why bother? It almost seems like a scam to me. I love TST and what they stand for, but this just isn't something I can entirely support with a clear conscience." And he goes on a bit more. And I'm sure there are also comments that are sort of more, I don't know, favorable toward the mechanism that the Satanic Temple is using. I'm sort of torn. I don't know exactly how I feel about this. I don't know. I would like to know more about this difficulty of getting the announcements displayed. And as a person that is a creator, I do sort of always like to see the creator be paid in some way for their work. But I mean, it is their choice. If you're an artist out there and you choose to donate your work to the cause, then so be it. You know, you're agreeing to work for free, and that's fine. But I found it interesting that there seemed to be, right off the bat, quite a strong sort of reaction to this thing. But I guess that is the case sometimes. Our next news item, Aria de Satanas published a blog post titled "Why I Left the Satanic Temple." First, who is Aria de Satanas? She's been a fairly vocal Satanist who helped co-found the Baphomet Antisocial Network back in 2019, and she also leads her own satanic organization called the Coven of Satan. I do not know off the top of my head how long that organization has been around. According to a lengthy post on her website, she started Baphomet without any prior approval from the Satanic Temple. She was reprimanded and warned sternly that she was to make sure that Baphomet did not attempt to speak in any official capacity for TST. She says, "I assured them it would not. It has not to this day." After she had some further disagreements with the leadership of her chapter and the poor handling of the mediation process by the Satanic Temple's HR branch, she sent a formal letter of resignation and asked it to remain quiet. It did not. The very next day, she was told by many folks about how she had been, quote, kicked from her chapter. According to her post, the director of Satanic Temple virtual headquarters, a woman named Ada King, reached out and invited Aria to join the team handling the virtual headquarters, where she ended up working as an unpaid volunteer for 5 months. She says that during her tenure, she received zero written warnings about any content that she was posting and had gotten only positive feedback from the virtual headquarters team. She went on to add that 3 days prior to my termination, we had our regular TST VHQ meeting and all seemed normal, aside from Ada King leaving halfway through the meeting to pass out in her bathroom drunk. She continues on, quote, "The next day I spoke to Ada privately to check on her and revealed that my coven, which was first begun in November," there you go, it began in November, "had finally codified its ethos. As it was a personal conversation, none of it is covered by NDA. I even said somewhat jokingly at the time, if Coven of Satan is an issue with the code of conduct, I will resign from virtual headquarters as to not cause an issue. She goes on for a bit and wraps it up with, I am no longer a member of the Satanic Temple. I cannot say more due to NDAs I have signed with TSTTA and TSTVHQ. I should also note, guys, that in the time since it was originally posted, that blog post was edited quite a bit. Some parts were removed, including some bits about Ada King, but I'm not exactly sure the extent of all of the edits. I did reach out to Aria to let her know that if she wanted to speak about this, that I would be happy to have her on, and that invitation still stands. If at any point she would like to come talk about this issue or anything, I'm completely open to that. So, drama within the Satanic Temple, as usual. This story came to the attention of a lot of Satanists because there was a bit of a back and forth going around on Twitter. I think maybe Lucian was in on it a bit and several others. So what are you going to do? Satanist gonna Satanist, I guess. I have two more little items here that I'll go over fairly quickly. The Satanic Temple sues Boston. Some background. TST is suing the city of Boston for denying its request to deliver an invocation at the start of city council meetings. Currently, the Boston City Council permits invocations from representatives of other faiths by invitation only. This practice ensures that only faiths approved by the council members are ever afforded the opportunity to speak. So, add it to the list of lawsuits, right? The rule there at the Boston City Council says that people have to be invited. And since there's no Satanists on the city council, it seems unlikely that any of the council members would invite a Satanist. And the Satanic Temple, I guess, wants to give an invocation at the city council meetings. And so, all right, there's a lawsuit. We'll see how it plays out. And for one final bit of news, the Satanic Temple has done a thing. Dear listeners, can you guess what it is? That's right. They have filed a lawsuit. This time, they are suing the Texas Department of Health Services, its director, Dr. John William Hellerstedt, and Planned Parenthood. It is worth noting, before anybody freaks out, that TST isn't mad at Planned Parenthood. They're not happy about suing Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is simply acting within the laws that govern them. But apparently, this is just all part of the process. I'm not a lawyer. I do plan to speak to the lawyer that is heading up this new case, so we'll talk to him a bit about it. This time, we've got Jane Doe, who wanted an abortion in Texas. Texas law requires all women who want an abortion to have an ultrasound 24 hours before the procedure. The lawsuit says obtaining an ultrasound would get in the way of Jane Doe performing her satanic abortion ritual because it violates the fifth tenet and the third tenet. That makes it impossible to perform the ritual as intended. Jane Doe says the ultrasound requirement is a violation of her First Amendment and equal protection rights. As usual, time will tell how this one plays out. I have a feeling about how it will probably play out. And I also have some questions that I'd love to ask some people about this. Maybe I'll get the chance to do so pretty soon. Now, guys, I don't know about all of you, but I'm a little exhausted from all of this lawsuit discussion all of the time. I understand TST is doing what they need to do, and they have ideals that they're trying to push forward, but I'm going to do my best to bring you some non-lawsuit heavy content very soon. Make no mistake, we're going to dig into some of this new lawsuit stuff. I do plan to talk to the attorney in charge of this new case, but you know, I'll be probably just as happy as you all to discuss some other things very soon. That's all I've got for you guys right now. Thank you for listening. I want you to stay safe out there. Hail Satan. Evil free service, but service in my food.